civil disobedience is not our problem. Our problem is civil obedience. Our problem is that people all over the world have obeyed the dictates of leaders, and millions have been killed because of disobedience. Our problem is that people are obedient all over the world in the face of poverty and starvation and stupidity and war and cruelty. Our problem is that people are obedient while the jails are full of petty thieves and the grand thieves are running the country. That is our problem. And that was said by Howard Zinn. Welcome to Surviving the Matrix, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Maxwell Egan. It's a pleasure to be with you once again, and I'll be your host for the next hour. Now, I know that on the last few shows, a lot of the information that I've been bringing to you may seem to be a little bit unsettling because a lot of the legislation that I've been presenting has been extremely unsettling legislation. But folks, I want you to understand that I don't do this because I've gone to the dark side and want to be negative or believe I should focus on the negative things or anything like that. I bring you this type of information because, as I've said so many times, I see all of these oppressive pieces of legislation as opportunities for wakefulness. And that's what I see them all as. I mean, there might be someone out there you know who is asleep and still believes the government is their friend, in which case you can simply ask them what their opinion is of this information and whether they believe that perhaps we should do something about it. And isn't this perhaps what you told them was going to happen when you tried to warn them about what was going on in the world a couple of years ago? And that's why it's good to keep track of all of this stuff, folks. It's good to see when new pieces of legislation are brought in so that you can basically show them to people and say, well, here it is. Not that I told you so, but I did tell you so that this was about to happen, and here it is happening. And now that it's happening in one country, you're going to see it happening in other countries. And see, this is an opportunity, folks, because this is how you can wake these people up. Because when it really begins to dawn on them how repressive some of these pieces of legislation are, it causes them to pay attention, and they listen to what you say, and they see that it does extrapolate itself out across the rest of the globe. And it might just cause the penny to drop in a lot of these people. It might just crack the shell a little bit, and they may begin to see the importance of paying attention to what's going on around them and addressing some of the problems that we face as a society. Because all of these problems can be addressed if only the people would address them. That's the problem, folks. We see all of this stuff, but we never address it. We see it, we point the finger, and we ask somebody else to fix it. Because we don't really know what the fix is. And of course, the fix is to have strong community and to put government back in their position as administrators, which is what we employ them to be. And I've done whole shows on that, so I'll try not to dwell on that, but that is what the solution is. But of course, it's often very difficult for people to ever see the solution because they never really have time to look at the problem. And this is, of course, because everybody is kept so busy on the treadmill trying to keep their head above water in order to survive. And of course, when it comes to alternative research, many people can't see the problem because of the mind control that they're under. Because, of course, alternative research is very much ridiculed by the mainstream. Even when you see repressive pieces of legislation being introduced, a lot of people look at them and say, well, this is to deal with criminals. And this is the way it goes in the credit-based society, the way the government is attempting to demonize the use of cash. They just train the people to believe that people who deal in cash have something to hide. I mean, the truth of the matter, of course, is that if you always use cash in your transactions, then the bank isn't able to make a profit on those transactions, whereas if you use credit cards or debit cards, the bank is able to make profit on all your transactions. And so this is why they demonize cash. And then rather than helping people understand that those who trade in cash do so because they don't wish to garner any more profit for the corrupt banking cartels, they simply train people to believe that those who use cash must be doing so because they don't want to leave a paper trail, because they must have something to hide, and therefore they must be criminals. And the only logical conclusion that the public can come to is, of course, the conclusion that they've been trained to come to, and that is that we should eliminate cash because cash is what criminals use. they don't really see the bigger picture, and they simply can't believe their government would be as criminal as people are telling them. I mean, you've got to understand, you're challenging these people's very belief systems. I mean, very often you're challenging the very foundation of their whole reality. So you've got to be gentle with these people. And you've got to understand that they only think that people who perhaps deal in cash might possibly be criminals because they're trained to think that way, and they don't really ever step back to see that it's actually the system itself that is criminal. I mean, the fact that you have to pay to be alive is criminal in itself, and the fact that the money that you use to pay to be alive has interest attached to it and is designed to keep you in debt is criminal. And it's when you can step back and can actually see this, then you begin to see that it is the system that's criminal, and what the system is doing is passing legislation which makes criminals of anybody who tries to free themselves or extricate themselves from the system, or who chooses not to participate in the system. Because the system itself is the mechanism of slavery that the elite use to keep tabs on everybody and to keep their little ant farm running just the way they like it. So they don't like ants that go outside of the farm and start building little mounds somewhere out in the garden. They're not interested in that. They want everybody all nice and contained within their little controlled ant farm. I mean, folks, frankly, I've never participated in the system for my entire life. And I suppose for that, the system sees me as a criminal. But the fact is, folks, that I'm the one who has spent my life upholding the law, and the system and the government are the ones who have done exactly the opposite. Because, as I've often said, folks, there really is only one law, and that is to do no harm. And yet, the system itself imposes legislation which seeks to do harm to me should I disobey its legislation. And yet it claims to be acting within the parameters of the law. And yet there is an injured party from the actions of the system, the injured party being me when I'm incarcerated for failing to obey a statute regulation which was going to cause me to do harm against humanity. Because very often that's what these statute regulations do, folks. They're not put there for your safety. They are put there simply to control you and to use you as a source of revenue. But the truth is, folks, that as I said, what you see in many of these situations where a statute regulation is broken is that the system then seeks to do harm against the individual when the individual has actually done no harm against anybody. There is no injured party from the actions of the individual in most cases, unless they have committed an actual crime like damage somebody or damage somebody's property. But if there is no injured party, if they've simply broken a statute regulation, then no law has been broken, and yet the government will then presume to break law by doing harm against them for being in breach of a statute regulation, which has no bearing in reality. It's simply a rule that some sociopath somewhere wrote on a piece of paper at some stage, and that's all it is. So it's not a law, and no law has been broken if you break these statute regulations. I mean, I've probably gone off the track a little bit here with all this, folks, but what I'm essentially attempting to say here is that very often in your dealings with government, you'll find that it is the government who is in fact in breach of law, because the government is always seeking to do harm against an individual who is in breach of a statute regulation for which there is no injured party. I hope that made sense. And of course, a lot of people will argue the point here and say, well, seeing as how it's governments who make law, how can the government then do anything that is against the law? Because if they're acting against the law, then they'll simply legislate it out of existence so that they're not acting against the law. But what people are doing here is they are confusing that which is lawful with that which is legal. In that context, it's virtually impossible for the government to do anything illegal because the government controls the legal system. But the legal system is not law. The legal system is legislation, which very often replaces law with the will of politicians. That's its purpose. So whether something is legal really has no bearing on whether it is lawful. And that's where a lot of people's arguments break down, because they are very concerned with the legalities of their approach to the system, where I'm not concerned with it at all. I see it all as fiction. I'm more interested in that which is lawful. And what is lawful, of course, relates to common law. And in common law, if a crime has been committed, an actual crime, and if an actual law has been broken, then of course there is always an injured party. And folks, when I talk about this sort of stuff on the radio show, I don't want to get anybody in trouble. I'm not asking you to go out there and take on the court system and try to put them in their place or anything like that. I'm just explaining to you how I view reality, how I view the system. If I'm ever in difficulty with the authorities, this is the approach that I take. And it works for me because I know who I am and I know what I'm saying. And I know that if I get myself into a particular situation, if I just speak English and actually speak to the person within the outfit, you know, always make sure that I'm speaking to the man, the living, breathing, flesh and blood, sentient life form, and not whatever role they happen to be playing, whether they happen to be playing judge or captain or police officer or whatever, I just always speak to the man. I'm always very polite and I'm always very logical, and I usually walk away from most situations because that's how I deal with myself. And so you've got to understand all I'm doing is sharing my perspective with you. I'm not asking you or encouraging you to go out and get yourself into trouble by attempting to stand up against police officers. I mean, in regard to police officers, I mean, I only really stand up to these people if I'm in a crowd. You know, if I'm down at the hotel or I'm out in the street and I'm approached by police officers and I've got people around me, then I will speak to them the way I'd speak to anybody. But of course, if I'm out driving and I get pulled over by three police officers because they want to check my rego or something, I know that I'm in a situation where I'm on the side of the road, I'm by myself, and there's three of them, and they can assault me, tase me, beat me up, lock me in a cell and do anything they want, because if it ever comes to court and I have to try to claim my innocence, then it's a case of three against one, and you can bet your bottom dollar that they will lie through their teeth in order to back up whatever story they've made up. And so you've got to use your better judgment in certain situations, folks. If you're cornered and outnumbered and you're by yourself, then very often it's good to just do what you're told and get out of their custody as quickly as possible, because they can and will very often hurt you simply because they can. They have the ability to do it, and very often they are trained to be sociopaths, and it's not a good idea to encourage them. But by the same token, folks, you need to remain empowered and know who and what you are. Just know how to deal with particular situations when you need to. I mean, I will never back down to these people, and I will always question what they are doing, but I do it in a polite way so as not to aggravate the situation. But anyway, folks, enough of the topic of police. Now, everybody has been expecting 2012 to be a year of change. This is mentioned in a myriad of ancient prophecies, and it's very much imprinted into the mindset of humanity. A lot of people are expecting changes this year. And folks, we certainly are seeing a lot of changes, but we're seeing them come from all directions. We're seeing people going through personal changes within themselves, and we're certainly seeing the government doing its best to curtail whatever freedoms the people have left this year. They've been ramping up the legislation in virtually all countries around the world. We've also got massive environmental changes happening all around the world, a lot of it through our own actions, through things such as Fukushima. Fukushima seems to be something everybody's sort of forgotten about, but Fukushima is still pouring radiation into the ocean and into the atmosphere. It's probably 10 times worse than the Chernobyl disaster, and it's still completely uncontained. And I mean, that should be a pretty good sign for people that the governments of the world really don't give a damn about what's going on in the world, folks, because the Fukushima situation is a situation that isn't localized to Japan. This is a situation that affects the entire world, and the fact that the governments just don't stop what they're doing and go and fix this problem altogether, regardless of whatever fictional cost they've put on the operation, speaks volumes. It really does, because if these people cared about the world at all, and if they even had any intelligence at all, they would go and fix this problem. but they don't because of the expense involved in fixing the problem. But expense, of course, is fiction. It's just a system that we made up. It doesn't really have much to do with reality at all. And it's actually a very good example of how the creation of money serves to prevent humankind from being all that it can be. It's designed to place people and situations now as well in a state of shortage. And I mean, it's very obvious, folks, because when you look at something like Fukushima, I mean, we're talking about polluting the entire planet with radiation. How can you put a dollar value on this? How can you say that it's too expensive and we don't have the resources or whatever? I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous, folks, and it's a very good demonstration of how much mankind has been trained not to participate in reality around them. We've got a lot of people now distracted and sidetracked waiting for mass arrests to happen, so there's a lot of people that aren't dealing with the world around them due to that, because they believe they're going to be saved by mass arrests. Of course, we have many people of the Christian ilk that are not doing anything because they're just sort of sitting back and waiting for the rapture. And also, we've got a lot of people of the spiritual persuasion who are basically sitting around and waiting for a shift to happen. And certainly, the frequency of the planet is rising, the vibration is rising, and a lot of people are seeing that as enough, but what they are doing is they're failing to participate in the world in which they live. And the truth of the matter, folks, is that we do have a huge opportunity for change this year, a huge opportunity for spiritual evolution and awakeness, and quite literally a huge opportunity to shift the entire consciousness of mankind to a much higher level. But what people are failing to realize is that we need to participate in this shift. And we do that by participating in the world around us. You see, all the problems that we face, and quite literally every problem, folks, every problem that we face as a society, as a species, has been created by us. And we need to realize this. We need to realize that we have always been the source of our own destruction. We have been the source of all the evil that's ever happened on this planet has come from us, because we have created it through our obedience and our compliance to this system. It's been created through our surrendering of our own authority to somebody else, and by our lack of self-empowerment and our fear of the system, our willingness to simply do what we're told in any given situation. And it's this system that's the fault, and what we have to do is stand up against it. And the way we stand up against it is by realizing that it's fiction and we simply stop complying with it. I know I've been harping on with this for years, but this is how we do it, folks. The human race is capable of so much if we would simply apply ourselves. And it's getting to the stage where we really need to do it, folks. We are, in fact, required to do it in order to save this planet, to save the direction humanity is going in. We're required to do it if we're going to participate in any type of ascension or any type of shift at all, because we need to participate in the reality in which we live. There's so many people that have been trained to look forward to the day when they escape 3D reality and move on to the fifth dimension or whatever, or heaven or the rapture or wherever it is they think they're going. And by doing so, they miss out on the reality in which they live. And the reality in which they live just turns more and more into hell. People say, oh, the world's just turning to hell and I'm waiting to go to heaven. Well, it's only turning into hell because of people's failure to participate in the world in which they live. It's this lack of participation and this lack of awareness of their surroundings, this lack of connection with the people within their community that creates the hell that they are so desperately wanting to escape, when they could fix it and turn it into heaven if they simply participated in the reality in which they live. I mean, when you look around you, you see that the jails are so full of people who never committed any real crime. And as I said earlier, what you see in these cases is that the system itself, the government itself, has actually committed crime by doing harm against these people, when in fact these people have injured nobody. And this continues, and it'll keep going to the point where virtually everybody is a criminal. As I've said before, I've done whole shows on this, on the concept of total criminalisation, because the government is intent on outlawing everything about being a human being. I mean, eventually it will be illegal to step outside of any line whatsoever, because they need you to be a criminal to some greater or lesser degree, because then at last you will be uniform in the eyes of the law, and the government are not able to rule innocent men. They are only able to control criminals, which is why they legislate to make everybody a criminal, to a greater or lesser degree. You know, they need you out in society working and making money for them, or they need you incarcerated within a privately run prison system, making money for them. And the human race has become a commodity for the elite, and it's run like an industry. It really is. It's absolutely amazing when you look at how the ant farm is actually managed. And what the elite are in the process of doing now by digitizing everything and making everything electronic is imposing all of the digital surveillance needed to keep track of every move, every transaction, and every thought that everybody does, and to get access to even the most personal details about every single person on the planet. Then they will gradually go about eliminating those who think outside of the box. And they don't even have to go and, like, eliminate them, like send a hit squad around or anything. All they have to do is manipulate their lives so that they are discarded, because that's the way it works. The system just constantly works to make itself more efficient, and it discards those people that don't serve the system. And with the introduction of the digital and cashless society, they will be able to discard such people quite scientifically and methodically. And yet the system itself, the system that is discarding these people, is an entirely fictional system that only survives due to the energy that we give it. And so we have to stop giving it our energy, folks, and we do that through non-compliance. And a lot of people ask me, what is non-compliance? And really, folks, when you look at it, everything about this system is designed to make people expendable. So the ultimate non-compliance against this system is to serve the people around you and to make the system expendable. Because the system is designed to keep us divided. The system is designed to force us into situations where we are required to behave sociopathically and psychopathically. We're required to support the system over the needs of the people. We're required to evict people from their homes in order to support the economic model that we are told is real, when really we should be changing the economic model if it is causing people to be expendable. You see, that's the thing. We need to change our perspective, folks. We've been trained to think of the world in a certain left-brained way. And non-compliance is to change your perspective and start putting people and the environment at the top of the list. Start acting in empathy for all of creation. Start putting life itself at the top of the food chain. Start doing what is right in all that you do. Rather than just doing what's right for you personally, do what is actually right. Do the right thing in all that you do, and always work to serve creation, to improve reality by your presence in it. That is the ultimate non-compliance, folks, because everything about this system is designed to make us do exactly the opposite of that. That's the thing. Really, all you've got to do is do that which is lawful as opposed to that which is legal. Because the legal system is designed to tie people up in a bunch of sociopathic rules with the objective of removing them from a state of what is lawful. And I was talking about this earlier on. Because what is lawful is to do no harm to any of creation. So anything about this system that requires you to do harm to anybody else or causes anybody to be expendable in order to support an economic model is wrong. It's unjust, and you should not comply with any such legislation or any such regulation. Because to do so is certainly not doing the right thing, regardless of the legal structure of the situation. People have got to get this whole fear of legalities out of their mind, because that which is illegal is usually fiction. It's just rules written on pieces of paper that is designed to contravene natural law. And the only reason we find the world in the state that it's currently in is because of our willful obedience to legislation and our willful obedience to these rules that are written down, which are designed to make humanity and the planet itself the most expendable thing within the parameters of the system. I mean, it's just so obvious that this is how the world's run, folks, and it's so obvious how we can change things by simply not complying with anything that causes us to do harm to the earth or to anybody else, or that places any economic need over the needs of any people or anything alive. Because the economy's fiction, folks, and if we're going to trash the people and trash the environment in order to support the economy, then we need to have a serious look at things. And I know I'm just repeating myself there, but it's just so obvious, folks, and I really fail to understand why so many people have such a degree of difficulty in coming to this realization for themselves. Of course, the more in your face the system becomes, then the more people will wake up by default, and we are certainly seeing that. So all I can really say to the government is bring it on, because the more you bring it on, the more people are waking up, and eventually you will bring it on so thick and so in your face that people won't have any other choice other than to wake up, and perhaps then we will be able to implement the positive change that we need, and we'll be able to return mankind and the planet back to its natural state of abundance. And that is what's been taken from us with such an extraordinary amount of precision. But I think it's break time here now, folks, so we'll leave it there for now and go and have a break, and I'll speak to you again in a few minutes. Thanks for listening. And welcome back, folks. Now, very often on these shows, you've heard me talk about the energetic nature of the universe, the electrical nature of the universe, and the electrical and electromagnetic nature of the human body. How we literally download consciousness into the shell that our body is, and we use this body as a vehicle to experience reality. And how when you understand how energy works and you understand how the universe works and you understand how the electrical and energy systems of your body work, it's very, very helpful in removing fear from your consciousness, removing fear from your psyche, because you begin to see reality in a different way. And it's very often people's left brain perspective of reality, the left brain perspective that's been instilled into them ever since their birth, or through the education system, the social systems, everything. It's all designed to stimulate this left brain understanding of the world. And when you fully immerse yourself in this left brain state and you are kept in a state of scarcity, you are basically being kept in a state of fear-based mind control for virtually the entirety of your life. And not only that, but you're fed all of this information in the form of subtext that exists everywhere in the world around you. All of the symbolism and the signs and the subtext in the movies, the subtext in the advertising, the very social system that's presented to you by our society, the idea of what is normal and which parameters you should make sure that you fit yourself within in order to be acceptable to the rest of society, all of the political correctness and all of the stuff that we're fed, folks, it's all complete rubbish, and it's all designed to lock you into this left brain state of fear-based mind control to keep you functioning as a good little drone that is beneficial to the system and likes to be beneficial to the system. It likes to serve the system because that's what it's trained to do. And what the system is in the process of doing is refining this and consolidating this and making it more and more compact, ever more gradually, of course. They do it very, very gradually so people don't get too freaked out by it and notice what's going on. But what you find is that consciousness and humanity itself gets more and more squashed into a little box as the years go by. And they're really stepping out up this year. And when I go off on discussions about energy and the electrical and energetic nature of the universe, what I'm attempting to do is help people break free of this fear-based mind control, because I believe the easiest way to break free of it is to simply change your perspective of reality. Because you're never given a true perspective of reality through the left brain education system. All you're ever given is a left brain perspective of reality designed to lock you within a little controlled paradigm. So you need to step outside of that box. You need to step outside of that paradigm, and you need to start looking at reality with both sides of your brain. And I truly do believe that when you have a basic understanding of how the universe functions energetically and how your body functions energetically, how you are speaking the language of feeling and emotion virtually 24 hours a day or every waking hour of your day anyway, you're speaking languages that you don't know you're speaking. Now, when you can begin to grasp these things and understand these things, folks, it can literally change your life, and all of the fear that you have of reality, all the fear that you have of the system, simply falls away. And from that point on, you begin creating the reality that you want to have. And I want to have a reality where everybody is aware of all the problems that we're facing so that we can address these problems, because that's honestly the only way they're ever going to go away. They're not going to go away by ignoring them and pretending they don't exist. They're only going to go away when people deal with them. And in order for people to deal with them, the cover has to come off. And this is the biblical apocalypse, folks. The meaning of the word apocalypse actually means revealing. It's when the cover comes off. And that's what we're seeing at the moment. The cover is coming off the system and the inner workings and mechanism that has been used to enslave humanity for so long is being laid bare for all to see. And so are the mechanisms that are currently being put in place that the system intends to use to mold the direction human consciousness will go. And a lot of these systems are very covert, but they are very, very important. And it is important that people be made aware of them, because obviously nobody is going to be able to address these issues until they are made aware of their existence. And I guess that's a lot of why I do these shows, folks, just so that people can see what these issues are and they can learn the very simple remedy that we have for all of these issues. Because, as I've often said so many times before, there really is only one issue, folks, and that is the corruption of the system itself. And that only continues because we ignore the system. We always turn a blind eye because that's what we're trained to do. And of course, what you find is that very often within our society, people turn a blind eye, not only because they're trained to do so, but because they really don't see the real issues. They're just fed this version of reality that the television gives them every day, and they think that that's it. They don't ever look very much deeper because they're always kept on the treadmill. They never have time to look very much deeper. And so that's where shows like this come into play. Hopefully one day I will deliver the show that will wake up everybody, the show that you will be able to use to play to your neighbours who are asleep, and it will cause the penny to drop. One day I'm really hoping that I come up with the one show that's going to do it all. And I suppose that's the dream of every announcer on the alternative media these days, is that we all hope that one day we are going to come up with exactly the right way of putting things that will cause the penny to drop in the minds of those who still sleep. I mean, we all have to do our bit, folks, and this is the bit that I do. And again, I'd like to thank everybody who has supported me in doing this bit, because I know a lot of the people out there do share the shows a lot with their friends. I know a lot of people download the MP3s from the Crow House, and they listen to it in their cars, and they listen to it on their Walkmans, and they share it with their friends. And so thank you very much for all of that, folks, because it's really all about getting the message out to people in a way that the people can understand. And that's what I'm trying to do. And I honestly would not be able to do it without the support that's been shown to me by the very wonderful and very supportive listeners that I have. So everybody is doing their bit, folks, even if you're not participating in talk radio, even by supporting those who are participating in it and supporting those who are working to get the message out, then you are making it possible for the message to continue. I mean, things are getting very tight in the world, folks, and things are certainly getting very tight for me, and I absolutely would not be able to continue what I'm doing were it not for the support that people show to the Crow House. That's quite literally the only thing that keeps this show going. Now, as we see a further ramping up of legislation and a further ramping up of the police state this year, which we will no doubt see, folks, things are looking very touchy on the global front as well. We're very likely to see incursions into Syria very soon and more muscle flexing at Iran. And as these things do ramp up, folks, you're going to need to make sure you're centered in the correct energy through all of this. There are going to be people that wake up during this process, because the more negative the powers that be make it, the more people will wake up by default. And these people are going to need an explanation as to what's going on from someone who knows what's going on. And they're also going to need support from people who know what's going on. That's why you need to prepare for what's coming. You need to at least have some food there so that you know you've got something to fall back on. Perhaps if you've got a lot of money in the bank, perhaps now would be a time to convert it to something like silver, because silver is not going to lose value, whereas paper money is. And a good start to preparing for what we may see come along in the future is to build strong ties amongst your community, amongst your friends, amongst your family, amongst those in your general area. If there's neighbours that you don't know, perhaps you should go and meet them. Just take a cup of tea or a cup of coffee or a cake or some biscuits or something. Just take something over there, some vegetables that you've grown, something. Go and break the ice with these people and just get to know them, so that these people can see that you are a helpful and a supportive person, and you are a staunch neighbour, and that you are someone who could be a support to them if they were to fall down or perhaps get in trouble with some type of corrupt government legislation that's been imposed upon them. See, all of these pieces of legislation, folks, they only work if we have divided community. If we have strong community that all stands up and stands by each other, then none of the legislations have any clout. None of them can do anything, really. And some of the pieces of legislation that the government is imposing upon people really are completely stupid. I mean, there's a guy from a raw food store who is facing multiple felonies for selling raw milk. Yeah, you couldn't make this stuff up, folks. I mean, it's kind of gone from the sublime to the ridiculous, but they're only getting away with this. They're only able to charge this man with felonies for selling whole milk because he's living in a divided community. If the whole community stood up with him and basically refused and said, well, no, we want this raw milk. We're not interested in your Monsanto milk. We're not interested in the rules that you put in place, because what we're seeing is that the entire globe seems to be a lot less healthy than they were 100 years ago since we all started following your pharmaceutical food guidelines. So we need to change that. And we're going to change it because we are the top of the food chain, and you, the government, are a bunch of people that we employ to manage our infrastructure, not to take away our food rights. So, yeah, you've got to change your attitude, folks. I mean, that's real non-compliance. And again, it's non-compliance because what you're doing is the right thing, because the government is doing the wrong thing. Now, you can't charge someone with a felony because he's selling whole milk. I mean, it's ridiculous, folks. They're basically making it illegal to be healthy. Eventually, it will be illegal to eat raw food. They're attempting to make it illegal to swap food. You can't give any food to your neighbours or anything like that unless it's FDA approved. And of course, in order to be FDA approved, it needs to be some type of Monsanto Franken food. So, you know, people need to wake up to what's going on, and they need to start supporting their community, and they need to ensure that they're keeping their basic rights. I mean, the right to grow food, the right to put anything you want into your own body is one of the most basic rights that people have ever had. And rights even as basic as this are being revoked by the government. They're seeing it as a privilege to breathe clean air, a privilege to do anything, anything that makes you a human. The government is attempting to change people's perspective so that they view these inherent human rights as privileges granted to them by government. And of course, when the government does this, it gives them the ability to revoke all of these privileges. It's very clever and very deceptive the way they do this, folks, and they change people's perspective of reality. It's like the American Bill of Rights. You read this document, you think, wow, what a beautiful document. Because what it actually does is it labels all the rights that people inherently have as a human being. But very deceptively, it presents these rights as if they were something that was hard fought for and bestowed upon the people by government. But they weren't, folks. They are basic human rights. And by presenting the concept to the people that they were bestowed upon them by government as privileges, it then gives the government the ability to take every one of those basic human rights away from the people, simply because they wrote it down. That's what's so insidious about written language, folks. They write down stuff, and that kind of gives these basic human qualities physical form, which gives the government the ability to remove them from existence. They're very tricky, folks. They're very tricky, and you should never, ever believe anything your government ever tells you. That should be one of the basic rules that people use to conduct everyday business in their life. I think if most people put that at the forefront of their minds whenever they are interacting with the system, the world would be far better off. And it certainly is going to be interesting to see what type of legislation they deliver to us next, folks. Especially after what they've delivered to us in the last few months, folks, because it's going to be very difficult for them to really top any of that. But I'm sure they'll think of something. But folks, as they do this, and as they do ramp things up, now more than ever is the time for you to get involved in your local community. Get to know your neighbours, put in vegetable gardens, start sharing food with people, start sharing yourself with people. Get to know your neighbours, break down the barriers that you have in your community. It's really important that we do that this year, folks, because we do have the opportunity to take human consciousness to a very, very wonderful place if we choose to participate in that transition. And in order to do that, we need to participate in the world in which we live, the 3D reality that we see around us every day. It's no good waiting for a saviour in whatever form that's going to take. It's no good waiting for ascension, waiting for a shift, waiting for the rapture, waiting for anything to happen, because we have to make it happen, and none of it is going to happen until we start participating in the world around us. And the best participation we can do is to see each other as valid and to stop complying with the corrupt system that currently enslaves us. In fact, that is really the only option that we have, folks. That's the only way forward. There is no other way. There is no other path that will work. And while we consciously choose to remain in a divided, judgmental society, while we still consciously choose to put our own needs above the needs of other people, while we consciously choose to live in a state of denial and essentially perpetuate the system of fear-based mind control that currently enslaves us, then nothing is going to change. But the really beautiful part about it is that if we do choose to participate, then change could come about very, very rapidly. And it's simply a choice, folks. It's simply a choice between love and fear. It's always been a choice between love and fear. We just have to be aware that that's what the choice is. And of course, we also have to be aware that the choice is there for us to make. You see, a lot of people don't even realize that the choice is there. A lot of people look at the world in a state of despair and they think, well, what can I do? What can a little person like myself do against the vastness of the huge machine that enslaves us? But again, this is mind control, folks, because the machine is not really that huge at all. In fact, the machine only exists on paper. So essentially, it's just an idea. That's the thing. And the little person can make a difference. Indeed, it is determined groups of little people that have only ever made a difference in our world. It was a determined group of little people who won the American War of Independence. Small bands of determined people can accomplish anything, folks. So don't think that you are just a little person, because you are incredibly significant. And if you change your perspective and change your attitude and change your perception of reality and how to deal with and interact with reality, then you can quite literally change the world. You start by changing your world around you and change your general area. Change the energetic vibration in your area, in your circle of friends, in your family, in your neighborhood, and create ripples. Because if everybody does this in their neighborhoods and we all do it right across the whole expanse of the globe, then the entire globe will change. And don't be afraid to stand up against the system. But in order to do so, you have to know who you are. You have to first occupy yourself, occupy your own spirit. Know that you are a divine creation of the Creator and that there is no jurisdiction between you and the Creator. And if no person or no body has been harmed by your actions and there is no injured party from any of your actions, then no law has been broken, and always stand in that. Know who you are, folks. Know what you are and approach the entire system in that way. And of course, the easiest way to do that, folks, is if you have the support of your community. And again, we come back to breaking down those barriers and getting to know your community. And now is the year. Now is the year that we need to do this more than ever. We absolutely do. Because we can bring about a wonderful transition this year. This can be the year that human consciousness finally comes into its own. It's been predicted to happen for so long. But there are so many forces at work that are distracting people and causing people to just wait around until something happens that's external to themselves, when really the change has got to be made within. It's not about aliens coming to save you. It's not about ascension. It's not about mass arrests. It's about you changing your perspective of reality and then applying that attitude to the reality in which you live. That's what changes everything. And this year, more than ever, we have the ability to do just that. Well, folks, we're getting very close to the end of the show here. The film Transformation is pretty well finished, folks. I've got a render of it sitting here on my desktop. I've watched it once. I'm going to watch it again. There might still be a few things I want to tweak in it. I'm a little bit nervous at releasing the film, to be honest, because I'm not sure how it's going to be taken. And as I mentioned on the Vinnie Eastwood show yesterday, the film, I mean, I've done it basically for me anyway. I've done it basically because I like the artiness of filmmaking. And so it's kind of an arty thing, but, you know, it's just the way I do it, and I'm sure you're familiar with that style from the other films that I've made previous to this one. But basically, most of the information that I've wanted to convey to the world, I've conveyed to them in the last 4 years of radio shows. And so I've tried not to repeat myself too much in the film, but obviously, you know, I've got the message that I've got, and that's the same message that I've been attempting to bring to people for the last 4 years. So I hope it doesn't ruffle people's feathers too much and get them in too much despair about the situation that we're facing. But we do face quite a serious situation, folks. But the beauty of it is that the situation actually can be addressed very quickly and very easily should we simply choose to participate. And it would certainly seem that the crows outside agree with me, folks, as they seem to be very much participating in the show today. So all is not lost, folks, and all is not despair. All is not woe. We just have a few situations that we need to address, and I really hate to rain on people's parade and just present something to them that they're going to have to deal with. But, well, that's what life is, folks. It's stuff that we have to deal with. And the reason the world is in the state that it's in is because we have failed to deal with these things for a very long time. But it's getting to the point now where we simply don't have a choice. We are going to have to deal with them, or we're going to create a future that we're not going to be able to survive in very easily at all. It will be a very controlled future. It will be a future where we are all living in mega cities because we have allowed the water table to be destroyed. It will be a future where we are enslaved to a digital financial system designed to keep us permanently in debt. But the beauty of it is that it's a future that can be very easily avoided and very easily changed if we choose to participate. And so that's what I've been urging people to do. And the reason I present the problems to them, folks, is because, as I've so often said, if people are not aware of the problems, then they don't see the need to participate. They don't see the urgency in their participation. And they just sort of plod along, maintaining their lives of permanent debt in the belief that everything will be changed if they can simply acquire more and more stuff along the way. And so we find ourselves marching towards a future which seems to be exactly the opposite of anything that humanity wants, needs, or even deserves. Although one may argue that we do deserve what we're creating simply by our failure to address the situation. And I suppose that's very difficult to argue with, but I don't think we do deserve it, folks. I don't think the human race deserves any of the bad things that have been inflicted upon it. I think that, sure, we've caused these problems through our own inaction, but we've only done so because that's the mindset we've been trained to have. What's happening now, though, is that people are waking up to the fact that this training exists, and so they are attempting to make changes. I mean, that's what I'm doing, folks, and it's the simple fact that I have the information that I have that causes me to speak out, because once you know this sort of stuff and you can see how the world runs, I believe that if you don't speak out about it and you don't attempt to share your knowledge with other people, then you're really just being part of the problem, because not enough people know the information, and the people who do know the information often spread it in a very fear-based way. And the trick is, I believe, to learn how to bring negative information to people in an empowering way. Show them the problem, but show them the opportunity that exists within the problem. Because ultimately that's what problems are, folks. They are opportunities for change. And we just need to look at these problems and see them as opportunities and to embrace these opportunities. And that's what I've been attempting to bring to you since the very beginning. But I think we're just about at the end of the show here, folks. Thank you again to anybody who has ever shown any support to the Crow House. Thank you again to the people who email me, to the people who send me news articles and send me information that they'd like posted. Thank you to all the people who have been burning copies of Expendable and handing it out to people, and to the people around the town where I live who have been helping me distribute copies of Expendable to the shops and to people on the street. It's really gratifying to see so many people who want to make a difference and so many people who wish to contribute in whatever way they can. And of course, sometimes it's in large ways and sometimes it's only in small ways, but it's the act of contributing. It's just that energy that you put into the field when you do contribute and you do help support this work and you do help get information out to people that makes all the difference. And so thank you to everybody who has supported the website, who has distributed information, and who continues to do so and to get this word out for people. Because together we are making a difference, folks. I absolutely know this to be true. So don't ever give up and don't ever stop believing in yourself, because we are the ones that we've been waiting for. And all we have to do is participate in reality to bring about the changes that we so desperately need. And that is it for me for the day, folks. Thank you very much for spending this time with me today. Thank you again for putting up with me going off on all the tangents that I seem to go off on lately. And I'll look forward to speaking to you again next week. Please take good care until then. In Lakesh.